The following is a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio. From hot dogs to cool kitties, this is Dark Side of the Pooch.
It is time for Dark Side of the Pooch. Dr. Ram, what you got for me, man? Yeah. This is Dark Side of the Pooch. Of course, you can hear it every single day of the week. We play it every single night at 7 o'clock, Monday through Friday. If you miss it once, listen to it again. Lots of great questions. Info at TonyCurryRadio.net. Info at TonyCurryRadio.net. We got some great emails we'll get into this week. And, of course, wherever you get your podcast, search Tony Curry Radio Podcast. And, of course, we're on every major indice out there when it comes to podcasts, too. You can go back and listen to our shows whenever you want. Dr. Rab, what's been going on, man? Everything good with you?
Great, man.
All right.
Just hopefully getting the flu wrapped up. We're not seeing as many cases of it now.
That's a good thing. And I'm glad you brought that up because I brought in Rainer to get his shots and all those things. And then, of course, I got him shaved, and I'll talk about that in just a few minutes. But my other dog seems to be making some type of weird chucking noise. I call it a chucking noise. It's not really a coughing noise. It's kind of a chucking noise, like he's got something caught in his throat. What are the symptoms of influenza, and what does it sound like when a dog coughs?
You just described it.
Okay. Great. So, super.
Yeah. The flu is slowing down, except for at the Curry House.
Well, and how often does it happen? How often do they cough?
It depends. Some dogs have a severe cough, and they're coughing, I mean, as continuous as you can cough, you know, for the most part. I mean, they're coughing several times a minute. And then some cough, not very often, maybe once or twice an hour.
Yeah.
So it just depends on the case.
All right. So I need to bring Frisco Dog in.
Well, what about Rainer? He's the one that got groomed, right?
He's fine. He's good. He's not making any noise at all.
And how long ago was it that he got groomed?
He got groomed last Tuesday.
So it'll be a week from tomorrow?
Yes.
And when did Frisco's cough start?
About the same time.
Because that incubation period doesn't really add up there.
Yeah.
Because you would think that Rainer would need to have sometime, between 2 to 7 days to contract it. Or not contract it, but to basically be able to shed the virus. And then it would take Frisco that same length of time to develop symptoms.
Yeah, I mean, neither dog's acting lethargic or anything. Are there other symptoms besides just the coughing part? Will they be kind of slow?
Yeah, they can be lethargic, and they can have some nasal discharge. So I would tell you that if he's not having any nasal discharge, Frisco's not having any colored nasal discharge, like, mucus.
Yeah.
It's clear, then it's fine.
Okay.
Colored nasal discharge or not eating or drinking – or, overt lethargy are reasons to come in. So if he's still eating and drinking, there's no mucus coming out of his nose, and he's not overly lethargic, just let him ride it out.
All right.
And if he's still coughing after 14 days or he's getting worse, then it might be something else.
Yeah, then I'll bring him in for sure. But he seems to be happy. He's still wagging his tail, and he's still running in the backyard and getting after it. So maybe he does have something caught in his throat. Dr. Rab Stewart here from the Rossbridge Animal Hospital at Rossbridge Vet. And, of course, the Rossbridge Animal Hospital on Facebook. And, of course, every single week, Dark Side of the Pooch is brought to you by Ed's Pet World. I went down there and got me a couple suckerfish and got me a parrotfish last week. They have all kinds of great exotic pets, everything from chinchillas to ferrets. They have rabbits, they have bearded dragons, they have ball boas, they have birds that'll sing anything. It's unbelievable. They're talking birds. Check them out, Ed's Pet World. They've been in business for almost 50 years. And of course, Seth travels the United States of America looking for wonderful collectible vintage toys. If you got some that are still in the box, he buys, sells, and trades. Take him down there. I would venture to guess that his toy business is almost as big, if not bigger, than his pet business. It's a great duo. Go down there and check him out at Ed's Pet World right down there in Homewood. Speaking of pets, I do want to get, and I sent you the article this morning, according to a publication called The Lancet, provided evidence of the first suspected case of a human transmitting the monkeypox virus to an animal. And this is the first time this has happened. It just happened a couple of days ago. Can you give me any information on that? What happens if a dog or a cat gets monkeypox? How is it transmitted? I'm assuming it's just from contact or licking or something like that. Do you have any other information on that?
We haven't seen any monkeypox cases in any pets. And I don't know anyone that has had monkeypox, but apparently in France, there's been the first transmission of monkeypox from a person to an Italian greyhound. And the greyhound lives, with someone who has monkeypox, and the dog sleeps in the same bed as the person who has it. So the transmission can occur with skin-to-skin contact or even contact with the same bedding. And the symptoms seem to be very similar to what happens in people. You have skin lesions, Ooh. Swollen lymph nodes, lethargy. So similar to smallpox, not as severe, but that's what happens with dogs. And cats, we're assuming can get it, but there have not been any documented cases of human to cat transmission like there has been with human to dogs. And apparently rabbits and mice can get it, but other small kind of exotic pocket pets like gerbils and guinea pigs, so far experimental studies have not shown that they can get it.
All right, so you are a veterinarian. You are on the front edge of all things scientific and caring, and you have conferences with people around the country. You know all these things. If, in fact, a dog did contract monkeypox, first of all, how would you test for that? And second of all, what is the treatment for an animal that's got monkeypox?
Well, I'll be honest with you. I don't know, because everything that I know from the animals getting it is from what happens with people.
Yeah.
I haven't seen any cases of it. I haven't had any publications come across my desk right now as far as, how to treat it. With it being, more of a, right now, more of a human disease, and not so much in our region. It's not endemic, and so at this point, I don't have a whole lot of other information.
Okay, well, hopefully you won't, because that means you won't have to deal with it. That's a good thing. He's Dr. Rab Stewart, Rossbridge Animal Hospital, 208-0301, 208-0301, area code 205 at Rossbridge Vet, of course, on Twitter, and the Rossbridge Animal Hospital on Facebook. We've got some emails here I want to get into, and another story, and an email kind of goes along with it, info@TonyCurryRadio.net, info@TonyCurryRadio.net. By the way, you hear the show every single night of the week, right around 7 o'clock, and also wherever you get your podcast. Tabitha in Houston, Texas, said she's got to go back to work after almost 2 years working out of her home. Her boss is like, you got to get your butt back into the office 5 days a week. And obviously she's been around her dogs, three of them, that entire time. And she wants to know what's the best way to help her animals adapt to the fact she's going to be gone 7 or 8 hours a day. Interesting article that I also sent you this morning. 23 million Americans got a pet during the first 14 months of the pandemic, which is crazy. Something else I think is crazy is roughly 50% of all new jobs are now offering some type of pet perk. That is a pet stipend. Not only do they give you a signing bonus, this I'd tell you where the labor department is right now. Not only do they give you a signing bonus, but they also give you money towards your pet so you can get some type of pet care during the day, because so many people are used to being home with their animals. Epidemic, big issue, anxiety. What do we got going on with our animals that all of a sudden don't have anybody around the house for a little while every day?
The pets are getting a little bit anxious. Mm-hmm. If their owners have been there for such a long period of time, and now they're gone. So we do have people that are getting a second pet now because they don't want their primary or the first pet that they got to be lonely.
Is that good? I mean, because that almost sounds like you're doubling your problems. We always did that. We got one dog and it's just bored and it has nothing to do. So let's get another one so it has a friend. That's a good idea, right?
Yeah, I think it is. Okay. As long as you have taken into account that you have a pet that will be willing to
share, you know, it's home with another pet. Some depends on the personality of the dog or the cat or, you know, whatever you have, that, you know, that pet may not be so willing to share. But, you know, for the most part, I think it goes well. It seems to go, for the most part, it seems to go better when you have a younger pet, you know, not so much in, you know, an older one. You know, if you have a geriatric dog or cat and they've been living alone for over a decade or more, you know, they may not be receptive, but sometimes it'll surprise you. So, you know, unfortunately, the only way to know is to either maybe do a short-term foster with mm-hmm. somebody and test it out that way. But then, you know, you're not really factoring in the personality of the dog that is going to be with you forever, because the dog that you do a short-term foster for will have a completely different personality, you know, than an 8-9-week-old puppy.
Yeah.
So, you know, nothing is foolproof, but that's one way that you can kind of see how it's going to work. And just trying to train your pet to get back to being alone, kind of breaking up the time, start out maybe being gone a half hour, you know, work your way up to however long you're going to need to be gone for the day. If there's a way, at least initially, maybe when you go back to work, if you can come back for lunch or something, that might help. But, you know, I would say first try them out with a shorter duration, work your way up. And then if at any point you find that the dog is having any type of separation anxiety, find out how long it takes for the dog to get to that point. And if there's a way that you can come home before that, then, you know, maybe you can make it through the day. I come home a lot during lunch, and I think my dog enjoys that. You know, he gets to go outside, gets to have some interaction, and he does fine.
You know, it's interesting because, I mean, dogs and cats to an extent are much like humans in that they're creatures of habit, and they're into repetition. And I mentioned this earlier that when I started walking my dogs every day around lunchtime, now they want to be walked every single day. And sometimes I'm exhausted. Sometimes it's raining. Sometimes I got a meeting. Sometimes I can't. And so then I started taking them for a drive because, quite frankly, Tony's tired. And I thought, and they enjoy the drive as much as they do the walk, I think. And I don't have to walk the entire neighborhood. I try to do a little bit of both. But when you start a new regimen with their animal, whether it's a new food, whether it's a time you give them baths or you feed them or walk them or whatever, they come to expect that, right? And that disappoints them when they don't get those things.
Yeah, they're creatures of habit, and they know when I can't tell you how many people have told me over the years that the dog knows what time it is because the dog knows what time it eats. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the dog's going to wake them up, or the dog's going to come get them off the couch to take them outside or to feed them. So, you know, they have that internal clock, whether it's driven by their, you know, their stomach making noises or what, you know, that's how they kind of gauge what time it is. I mean, it's not that they're, you know, obviously they don't care what time it is. They just know that they're hungry, and they're getting hungry at the same time every day. So their body tells them what to do. And it's not just that doesn't just happen with food. It happens with, you know, going outside or having interactions with the owner. I think that my dog knows what time my wife and kids get home, because when I'm at home, if I'm off for the day, you know, about 3 or 4 o'clock, he's up and kind of walking around the house and looking around. He knows what time those kids get home, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So they know.
Probably one of the best parts of my high school life is remembering getting off that school bus and having one of our dogs, and we had numerous dogs throughout our life, we never had more than one, but sitting at the top of the driveway, sitting very coy, acting like it wasn't paying attention to the bus pulling up, but it knew I was coming up the driveway. It would sit there and stick its butt up in the air and start wagging its tail and put its balls down. I remember that like it was yesterday, and I used to walk really slow up the driveway to the point where I came right up on it. It was just, I mean, what a joyous moment. It was just great. It was just wonderful.
Yeah. I mean, dogs, man's best friend. Mm-hmm. Cats are man's best enemy.
All right.
I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding.
There you go. Dr. Rab Stewart, Dark Side of the Pooch. You can hear it wherever you get your podcast. Check it out, Dark Side of the Pooch. Tons of listeners we get every single week. And, of course, the show airs fresh new shows every single week right here at 7 o'clock Monday through Friday. We have some new shows starting a little bit later on this week called Wanna Bet. We've got LPOD, which I think Dr. Rab's going to absolutely love. I'm going to start tracking fish albums starting next week. You're going to love that. So we'll have that going on right here on Tony Curry Radio. We got another email, info@tonycurryradio.net, about splooting. I'll get into that. But before we do that, I saw this other survey. This kind of, it surprised me, and I thought it was funny, but it was also kind of sad. Millennials who would symbolize themselves by being somewhere between the ages of 26 to 41 recently were surveyed about their pets and were asked if they love their pet more than any of the siblings in their family. We're not talking aunts and uncles. We're not talking second cousins. We're talking about people they actually live with. On average, 57% of millennials in this country say they love their animal more than they love one of their siblings, and 81% of those millennials said there's at least one person in their family they definitely love less than their dog or their cat, their pet. Does that surprise you? And listen, millennials, they're not getting married. They don't want to have children. They're still living at home. They're doing different jobs. But does that surprise you at all? And your customer base, I'm sure you have millennials in your customer base, right? Do they react differently around their pets?
We have a lot of millennials, and they surprisingly in the studies showed this, they back it up, that they are really big spenders when it comes to their pets.
Yeah.
That they want to have the best care, the best products. They, are really conscientious of their pet's well-being. So, that doesn't always line up with a spend amount. Sometimes just because you're spending a lot, it doesn't mean that you're giving good care. But most of the time it does. So, the studies will show that. I'm not surprised by anyone's love of animals. If they have a pet that they love more than one of their siblings, I'm not surprised. As a people, I think we're getting more and more closed off to other people. And so we're becoming more and more of a society that builds fences rather than takes them down. We want to have our privacy. And so if we're doing that, we need to have some type of interaction with something. And I think that the interaction with the pet is kind of taking the place of some of that. We could really get off into the weeds on this, so I'm not going to. But long story short, I am not surprised, and I'm thankful for the people that we have, because we have great clients, and they really, really, they want the best for their pets. And it makes our job easy.
Maybe I bring Dr. Josh Claypool in here, one of our shows. We can get some psychology.
Yeah, that'd be awesome.
Because I totally agree with you, and I've always. It's a dog, and I love my dogs. Don't get me wrong, and I take care of my dogs, and I like to spoil my dogs once in a while. But they're not human, and I always try to remember that as much as they bring me joy, I must take care of them. But at the same time, they are just an animal, and I think sometimes people get those lines confused a little bit, because first of all, humans are going to live to be 80, and your dog more than likely is going to live to be 12 to 15. You take that into effect. And maybe that's why people treat their animals like that, because they know they're only going to have them for 12 to 15 years, and they're going to give them the best they got. And good for them. That's great. I mean, I think that's super. Steve in Woodstock, Alabama, he already knows the answer, but he wants to know do you know what splooting is?
I have no idea.
Splooting, you want to take a stab. I'll tell you this. Animals do it when it's really hot.
I have no idea.
Splooting is when an animal sticks its back hind legs all the way out behind them, so their bellies can just lay flat on the floor. You seen that? Well, they dog. I don't know what that thing is. Humans, obviously, their legs just come out of their thighs, and so we just lay down and we can stretch our legs. But you know how animals kind of go spread eagle, and they can stretch their legs all the way out. And they're noticing this up in New York right now with squirrels, because people think that squirrels are dying, and they're not. They're splooting. They're sticking their legs out and their front legs out all the way out, so they can feel that cool grass on their bellies.
So it's just it's either like a form of downward dog or upward dog.
Yeah. Yes. Yes.
Depending on which the set of legs they use.
Our dogs are doing Pilates, or they're doing yoga. My dog does it. I mean, when I take him for a walk, he'll come in and he'll sploot on the middle of the hardwood floor, or sometimes in the kitchen because we have tile in there and it's much cooler and it feels good on their belly, right?
I got to be honest. The definition of splooting was not as grotesque as I thought it was going to be.
Come on, this is a family show, Doc. We would never go there here on Dark Side
of
the Food.
It is a family show as long as your family is 16 plus.
Yeah, as long as you're a millennial, you'll understand what's happening on the show, and you love your dog 81% more than you love your sister.
Yeah, we don't get into the 18 plus, I don't think. But I think we dip into that mature audience a little bit.
Have you ever done any research on children and whether they have a pet or not growing up, and if they're better well received in life because they had a pet growing up?
No, but there is a study that shows that their immune system is stronger.
Really?
Yeah.
The dogs?
the kids. Yeah. And I'm really bad at you know, there are some people out there that can quote an article and they can tell you what journal they read it in and what the date was, and they can tell you who published it and all this stuff. And I do not have the mental capacity to do that. So I can't cite my source, but I can say that there was a study done that showed that kids that grow up with dogs have a more hearty immune system than those that don't.
There you go. info@tonycurryradio.net. We take your emails every single week. Keep them coming, man. They're great emails. We try to reach and read every one of them, despite whatever they're talking about. Some of them are kind of personal, but we'll get into those as well. Dr. Rab Stewart, Rossbridge Animal Hospital, at Rossbridge Vet on Twitter, Rossbridge Animal Hospital, of course, on Facebook. And you can hear the show every Monday through Friday, 7 o'clock here on Tony Curry Radio. That's the TKR app. And of course, that is a central time, and wherever you get your favorite podcast, you can go. We don't care where you listen to it, just listen to it. It's fantastic. We have a very topical and somewhat of a sad email here from Tammy, who's in Dallas. I just got this yesterday. They're obviously receiving like a foot of rain. This is sitting on top of them. It's really weird because they've been going through a drought. They need the rain, but it's so much that it's running off right now. But she wants to know, how long can a dog typically survive in water if it can't obviously touch the ground? I've seen a story, I think we talked about it here, where some dog swam 5 miles back to its home. It fell off a boat and swam 5 miles back to the house. But typically, how long can a dog survive in water? Do you know?
I mean, I couldn't tell you exactly, but, you know, I would think that they could probably swim around, depending on the dog, of course, and depending on the, you know, if you have a, if you're a dog that's swimming in like, you know, calm water versus swimming in the middle of the ocean.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I think a dog could probably hang around for an hour.
Do dogs float? Do they float like humans?
Well, I don't think they could, yeah. But if they knew how, but, yeah. Dogs don't know how to do that. They know how to doggy paddle, you know,
if they can, if they learn how to sploot in the water, they probably float around like humans.
They need to do a reverse sploot.
Yeah.
So that would be on their back, you know, yeah. A reverse sploot, and then they would be able to hang out for hours on end. But I would think a pretty good reasonable time for them to be able to keep their head above water would be about an hour.
Yeah. We had Maxie. Well, we still have Maxie. And we had one of those 4-foot inflatable pools out in the backyard, and I could not find her one day. And she slept up on top of the pool to bathe, I guess, and she fell in and obviously couldn't get back out. And thank goodness we found her, and she was just doggy paddling for her life because she couldn't touch the bottom. But it's unfortunate because through all this flooding, and it happened in Kentucky several weeks ago, there were a lot of animals that were swept away. And unlike human life, where I'm assuming the animals swim better than humans on average, you hope that perhaps that animal will come back to you, but sometimes it doesn't. So, Tammy, our thoughts and prayers go out to you, and try to stay dry. info@tonycurryradio.net. This is Dark Side of the Pooch, brought to you by the fine folks down there at Ed's Pet World. They're down there in Homewood. They've just redone all the streets. The parking's fantastic. Go down there and see Ange and Seth and everyone else. They do fantastic. Sandy wants to know, does Dr. Rab ever take his dogs on a date? Now, I don't know if this means while you're out with your wife, you take a dog with you, or do you actually take your dogs out just for a night out with you and your pooch?
I can't take my dog anywhere because gets into trouble.
Yeah.
He tries to run away. He pulls on his leash. And it's because I did a poor job of training that dog when he was a youngster. Mm-hmm. If we could take, my wife would take this dog anywhere. If we could take my dog Renzo everywhere we went, I think that would, my wife would be in heaven. Because that dog is like her first child, her firstborn child, that we had before all of our kids. So, she would take it on, she would probably rather go on a date with the dog than go on a date with me.
I understand. I get where you're coming from.
But the problem with Renzo is he doesn't take his wallet. So I don't know. That's one thing that I have, on him, because I'll take my wallet and pay.
Yeah.
So
let's get psychological here for a second while we don't have Dr. Josh in here. So you're getting into a relationship and maybe you're going out with a millennial who really loves her cats or her dog. Are there any subtle red flags for a guy or a girl? Because I'm sure guys love their dogs too. When you get into a relationship that maybe they're just doing too much for your animal and you'll never be first fiddle in that relationship.
Well, I don't think that there's anything that I could tell you in stone. You know, if they are doing this,
yeah,
then you're probably always going to be second fiddle to
the dog.
What
about insisting their animal sleeps in the same bed with you?
Well, I can tell you that it's really just an overall feel. You know, if the dog comes, or cat, if the pet comes first in every situation,
yeah,
then, you know, you probably are a little too attached, and maybe the actual person is, you're never going to be able to break into that world and be number one. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I would just say that, if at some point, at least, you know, one or two times during the day, you get put above the pet, then I think you're okay.
Just show me a little love. Let me know that daddy gets served his dinner first, or he's taken care of first, because you can't really give a dog a back rub. Well, I guess you could.
Well, it's Splutes.
Yeah, there you have it. There's Splutes. We have one more email here on Dark Side of the Pooch. Belinda in Mobile says that we know that most animals speak to each other. Birds speak to each other. All animals use some type of sound in order to speak to each other. She said, do dogs and cats do the same thing, or do all the barks just sound the same to everybody? Is it just some type of warning bark or warning meow, or are there actual meanings to those barks and meows?
There's meaning to them.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, but the other thing that you have to couple it with is the body language. So it's not just the sound itself, mm-hmm, but it's the sound and the way that the pet is, posturing. So,
that sounds like my wife.
Yeah. Yeah. it's all about the sound of the voice and the posturing. Because there are happy sounding barks and there are aggressive sounding barks, but then there are some dogs that their bark is the same all the time.
Yeah.
So it's not, you know, as it is so many times, it's a case by case thing, but the bark with the body language will tell you everything that you need to know. So if you have, and it's not even so much of wagging the tail, because dogs will also wag their tail if they're nervous. But if you look at, you know, what their, the position of their back, you know, if it's haunched, or, you know, if they're, if they have their front end down, and their butt up in the air and they're barking, then that's usually a dog that's approachable and happy.
Mm-hmm.
But if they're, you know, on all fours and the hair on the back of their neck is up and they're barking, then that dog is either, you know, angry or fearful. And in the mind of a dog, angry and fearful are equally dangerous. So, yeah, use the body language along with the bark.
Dr. Grab, great show. Brought to you by, of course, Ed's Pet World down there. Nearly 50 years in business. I go down there at least once a week. They're fantastic. Check him out. Seth is, of course, into his toys. He goes all over the country. Every time I go down there, he's out. in Kansas City or Las Vegas or San Francisco, picking up some vintage toys out there, of course, still in the box. You get Star Wars stuff, great collectibles, watches, and everything else. And then, of course, every type of exotic pet. If they don't have it, they don't sell it. It's not legal to sell it. They have everything from caiman alligators to birds to bearded dragons to tarantulas. I mean, the kids absolutely love going down there, and I do too. Check out Ed's Pet World. It's right down there in beautiful Homewood. You know where to find it. Check it out. It's Pet World. Dr. Rab, have yourself a great week. We'll catch up next week. We appreciate you.
You too, buddy.
Thank you, man.
This has been a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio.